Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhists and Butterflies. We are still in, not still, well, we just started really, houses 7 and 8, where we're working with transformation of anger into its natural, healthy role, which is that of movement and momentum. So, as we dive in today, we haven't done this for a while. I would invite us to actually stand on up and get a little bit of dancing in. I think I might have played this song recently, forgive me. It's become one of the ones that are just on like rinse and repeat all the time right now. So even if we have, we're going to play it again because it's a good one and definitely worth a re-listen. And if I haven't, then yay. I feel like I've been sharing it in a bunch of different places as of late. So if it's a repeat, feel free to enjoy that too. It's an oldie, but a very strong goodie. I think this album was actually produced the year I was born. 1977, good year. All right, so I'm going to invite us to stand on up. If you prefer, you can chair dance. If you prefer, you can dance in your mind. Or as I like to call it, it's the very ancient ritual of sacred twitching. So you don't actually have to make any coordinated movements. You just get to let whatever impulses come through that system organically shift on through. Okay, y'all. Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad you appreciate my taste in music, Lisa. I think that song has gotten me through so many things that have been grief-oriented and also some rage. So I thought it'd be kind of really solid for today's session. And as we head into anger, In houses 7 and 8, as we talked about yesterday or last week, the houses of 7 and 8 are very much houses of water elements. So these are houses that also go right into the ancestral core. They go into the genetic lineage, and they work with long-standing bladder, in particular house 7. Not just fear, but also things that really piss you off. The kidney, house 8, goes more into the fearful things that are the threat to survival, the threat to having the nourishment to see things through. It's like the bone deep loss, particularly, that's carrying an edge of intenseness and passion. And it's got a depth of penetration to it. That can actually feel like a death if it's missing in some way. So this isn't just like lightweight fear stuff. This is more on the extreme side of things often. Okay. So as we dive into today's session, combining that with anger, fear and anger tend to add up to rage. I know that's more of a combo emotion, but I sense it in the field a little bit. And we've got some interesting things happening with the planetary energy of Neptune. And I'm no astrologer, but the particular degree that it's at, I just happen to remember numbers really well. It's at the 29th degree. And because of that, there's some really intense things happening. And also, it's supposed to lead to a certain amount of landing in our body, into awareness around, material that may have felt like it was deeply, held in a dreamlike state. But now it's coming to fruition into light. And with that, I can carry a certain amount of grief and rage as well. So we'll see where today's session goes. On that note, if you haven't already, let's have you get comfy and cozy. Settling on in. Finding a place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive, to drink in life, every exhale an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And to become present just a little bit more inside of your body. Not hovering above, but descending into it. Every exhale, landing just a little bit more presently, more deeply in here. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. Notice the weight beneath that seat. And let your attention follow to whatever moves first here. Tracking. There's going to be some invitations here to check in with your body a little bit more. So let your attention flow into the body, tracking whatever changes here. My puppy found his bone, but I don't think the mic is picking it up. If you can hear it and it's at all irritating, let me know. He gets a lot of bone time, a lot of bone chewing time, so it does not need to be in this hour. But if it's at all disturbing, let me know. And as you breathe here, I invite you just to check out how that feels to land, and if any part of that feels pleasant to neutral. Taking time to savor it, to drink it in, to let yourself really steep in it, let it rumble through you. And amongst that, continuing to track the body, noticing any places of activation, any places of collapse, any places of numbness. And just taking a note of that as you scan gently from head to toe. And as you scan, there may be shifts and changes that are welcome. Sometimes we hear the messaging of scan or breathe or observe something, but don't let it change. And I'm actually going to suggest that it's impossible to not have the observation change anything. So as you scan your body from head to toe, noticing it again, any activations, areas of collapse, any areas of numbness, an invitation is to let your body shift organically, change with it, if that should happen. Not that it needs to, no pressure to do so. And amongst us all, we invite you to also scan now your outer environment or your inner environment, but this time for something different. We invite you to locate anything in particular that feels easeful, beautiful, juicy, pleasant to be with. Just scanning your environment and allowing your system to notice what calls its attention. And feel free to take a moment to actually on purpose let your body mind look around the space. Go for a bit of a wander, whether that's externally or internally. And as it lands there, the question is like, what do you like about that thing? What do you like about it? What feels pleasant? What quality is easeful? What sparks alive in your system when you connect to it? And as that becomes alive or aware in your system, the invitation is to continue to notice how the body receives that information. So as you hang out with what feels good here and you breathe that inside, take a moment to do that if you haven't already been. What happens inside of your body? Knowing that there can be a wide array of responses, but particularly to the goodness, the beauty, the ease, the pleasantness. And as you notice that, continuing to savor anything that feels good inside of the body. So often our brain scans our body for what's wrong. And if that information is popping up, it's welcome to be here amongst it all. But see if you can also just bring your attention to the good amongst it, along with wherever your attention happens to be. Continuing to breathe that all in, just deepen that. I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that goes into this sweet moment of connection. To the families that created you, the ancestors that created them, the lineages that hold it all. To your sweet villages of support that happen in all the ways that they seem to magically show up, whether they be human or otherwise. All of your energy of supports, including your guides, those that you call upon. If you have that in your practice, they're welcome here too. So feel free to invite them in, call them in. And let yourself really feel the care, the reverence, the nourishment, the protection, the holding of the space safe and sacred. And thank you to the earth that's here, grounding us, nurturing us, giving us space to explore in ways that create depth, create roots, create grounds. Thank you to the sky above, giving us space to explore vastness within to soar. Thank you to the water connecting us to our very core essence. And thank you to the fire connecting us to the edges of that which is just beyond the known, the mysteriousness, the realm of spirits, creator, divine, God, whatever your name may be. Know that they're all welcome here. Thank you to the interweaving of this all that magically somehow supports the vitality of life to spark through our system. We ask that today's journey, its session, unfold in ways that be of service in the highest way available in grace today. Thank you. Om. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Invite you just to give that a slow breath, like a really slow, mindful breath. Not because we're shifting anything or moving anything, we're actually here to get more into whatever is happening right now. And in that really slow, really mindful breath, just taking note of again, what's here, what's alive for you right now. I'm gonna invite you in today's session to continuously come back to the body. As I speak the session, know that these words are not, like magical spells. It's about how it is you are interacting with them in real time, meaning what's happening for you inside of yourself. Your body is going to be the true source of the map, far more than any body talk protocol will ever be. And as you track the body's intelligence in real time, it becomes an interaction between you and the mystery. So noticing what's here, what's alive, and continuing to orient to the somatic realm. The dogs are making all sorts of noises in the background today. They're very alive with us. So it's curious. Roxy's actually pawing the ground. And just as it was going into our first link, the first link in our session is actually that of Earth. And it feels like we're in the body, in the realm of the earthiness that is your body. In the act of unearthing things, in the act of observing, in the act of becoming present, we become unearthers. Is that a word? Cultivators of the material that is yet to be mined. It's like the gold in the shadow, so to speak. And as the unearthing through the earth element arises, I have the image in my mind of, when people drill for one spot and they continuously drill that same spot, and in turn they can actually like hit water or maybe oil, whatever they're mining for. The image that I have is that of water. And we're linking actually this element of earth and defined by the consciousness of like that action of unearthing to the element of water, but particularly the technique of hydration, which helps us to take in water and joy and to release any impurities that no longer need to be here through the very edges of the container of your earth, which is your entire body. And that's particularly true wherever you're present in your body right now. So wherever your attention has been going, it's actually going to those areas divided from the areas that your presence isn't. Pardon me, that your presence, that your attention is not aware of. So let me try to say that again in English. We're hydrating whatever seems to be most alive in your awareness of your body right here, right now. And amongst that, we're linking it into the back of the skull where it joins onto the spine and all the way down through the back of the neck. And in this space lives some of our really deep stabilizers of our neck muscles, our postural muscles, the muscles that carry the energy of autonomy, and the muscles that often store the energy of that wasn't actually okay with me, but I shut it down, I froze it, I said that it was, or I said nothing at all because I was too terrified to speak. And here, these elements of earth, this element of earth can deeply be found in these neck muscles that work with the flexors, splenus capitis being one of them. And there's another splenus capitis. I can't remember the other fancy word that goes in Latin with it all. And we're actually working with both of them simultaneously. And they're the deeper layer ones. They're not the ones that you can like really just like touch and find. They're buried deep below, deep in the earth. And here we're running body chemistry, which works with supporting your immune system. It works with, in particular, well, for what's coming up today, intolerances on the emotional frequency to being seen as angry, to having expression of anger, to letting anger do what it's supposed to do best, which is to create movement in favor of shut down, freeze, in favor of, I think I've ranted about this previously, and if not, it's probably high time, and also always a good revisit this particular rant. It's shut down by the energy of perfection. And when I think of perfection, I think of that thing that my mom had that was this like little crystalline curio collection that was locked away in the curio cabinet that you could only ever like really look at and you were never allowed to touch because it was much too precious and expensive. It could break and then it wouldn't be in existence anymore. So this perfection, the beauty of it, was also intensely fragile. And there wasn't a lot of life, in particular in these crystalline figures. You know, it wasn't like my ratty old teddy bear, which was actually a dog, speaking of dogs in the background. And, you know, it had like snot all over it. It was like oozing, I'm sure, germs in every which direction. And going into the literally threadbare areas where there was, you know, little ears and eyes barely hanging on for dear life in multiple places. That thing was alive. That thing, although it looked like crap, it had seen some action. It had been through some things. It had lived some life, you know? And it was there to provide comfort and warmth in a way that these little curio things, crystalline curio things, just weren't. So I think of perfection. I think the opposite of the stuffy teddy bears that gave us all in our own childhood ways, and you know, you all had your own, or something like that. And I think of it being the opposite of that warmth, that comfort, that soothing, that nourishment, that earthiness. It's actually the loss of earth, it's actually the loss of ground, it's the loss of body. It's this really airy, delicate thing that has to be worshipped on high. So maybe my ways of sensing things like that add up for you too. The idea of this perfection, this idea of shut down, frozen energy, to speak another language around it all. This is where we began with it. And it's creating this consciousness of isolation. It's literally like freeze, icy, isolation, a separateness of having to stay apart from. And otherwise, you know, if there was connection, if there was aliveness, then there would be the risk of breaking. And we can't risk that. It's got to stay safe. through its walls, through its lenses of this is too much, it's too scary, it's too intense. So there's a walling off, a guarding off. And within that so-called safety, there's actually a fragility. There's a self-fulfilling prophecy of this is too scary, I need to protect myself. And then indeed, in the protection itself, there creates a fragility. It becomes this, other words I've used here before are like a downward spiral that just wraps it on itself. And it creates this like collapse, this burial, this frozen energy. If you think of really deep earth that's frozen, think of like the Arctic, Antarctic territories, where the frozen tundra, it's not just on the surface. It goes to a certain depth that you can somehow just sense. It's just like still and quiet. And not always in the good kind of still quiet way, where there's like a sense of still enough life around you and a sense of actually really deep aliveness and vitality even. There's a sense of like what can actually thrive here, what can live here. And very, very little. A few creatures, yeah, absolutely. Life is incredible. It'll always find a way through. But most humans don't work very well at that depth. I'm gonna suggest that right now your perfection that lives here in these areas of the body that was gathered here and put here because of all the times you were told that you weren't okay. Because of all the times where you learned that you needed to isolate yourself off. For all the times you learned and heard, you can't be yourself like that. You must be like this. You must perform like this if you want my care. If you want my love. If you want to survive. Never mind thrive. All of these instances, all of these experiences built up. And there was this deep depth and breadth alike. Frozen, shut down, okay, I'll perform like this. AKA, I'll be your doll. I'll be your frozen doll on the shelf that nobody can touch, but has to look this particular way. And we see this enacted time and time again. It's an every body image beauty standard that is out there for women, which is profound, men, steeply climbing to join the ranks. Yeah, I think the female area has it beat entirely. And there's this confusion, shall we say, within the system, within the element of earth, within those particular muscles that we're working with through the back of the neck. And that confusion isn't just the confusion of, I need like space, I need to figure this out. It's also wrapped around with a sense of pure rage, of like, how dare you cut me off from myself? And the thing is that rage is buried really deep below, kind of like a volcano erupting. It gets to sometimes come through and come out, but never usually in a way that makes any sense to anybody. There's just a sense of like, I just lost my cool. I lost my shit. And it didn't make any sense to anybody, to me either. What's going on? And so it's got that kind of a deep burial. There isn't even an awareness of what it actually means when that anger, when that rage makes its way through. For some of us, it might even be less like heat than the standard volcano. I don't have a good metaphor that's going to extend to this, but it's a kind of rage that carries an icy coolness because it's actually too hot to be felt. And that icy, cool rage is actually the very same energy that is found in the parts of us, and we all have this regardless of where we lie on the spectrum of it, of our narcissistic parts that we were talking about, was it 1 or 2 weeks ago? The parts of us that are one up in nature, maybe it was 3 weeks ago. The parts of us that are grandiose, the parts of us that are superior in some way, shape, or form. And the thing is that they learn that. They learn to do that out of a sense of protection for you when no other part of your psyche could actually handle it. So I'm not here to shame these parts. I'm not here to trash these parts. I'm actually here to say a little hello and thank you for keeping you safe. Thank you for keeping my friends safe. Thank you for keeping myself safe. And these parts, they have such a depth of care for us. They're working so very hard to do their darndest with very little resources because they were formed when we were very small. You might see your narcissistic parts, and potentially even that of others, as being related to the average 3-year-old, or potentially even all the way down to infant self, slightly older than infancy. It's usually more than the first day of life, but not always. Some of us are overachievers. Ask me how I know. And the idea here is that there's this protective element that only a little one could dream up. So it doesn't necessarily involve things that your adult brain would go and say, like, oh, no wonder we can do it this way. This is how we'll handle that. It usually involves things that were honestly quite brilliant for a little kid to put together, or an infant nonetheless. And nonetheless, maybe it's time for an update now. So maybe you can let those parts of yourselves know, like, hey, I'm actually no longer a kid. I'm actually this many years old, and I've got other tools, wisdom, resources to be here with you. As I talk about that part, I actually see it going all the way down now, not just on the either side of the neck, but going all the way down the entire length of the spine, working through the bladder meridian itself. The bladder meridian ties into our basic persona, our basic character. And if you've ever heard of any of bioenergetic armoring pieces, and they're talked about in multiple modalities, Alexander Lowen, Wilhelm Reich are sort of the forefathers of those areas, bioenergetic stuff. But it's found in multiple areas, including Hakomi, and gosh, I'm blanking on other names right now, but there's many of them. And there's this sense of, in essence, really deep held conglomerations of multiple parts of ways that they've stayed safe in order to form a particular character inside of yourself. And that's formed this idea of who it is you are. And it's like, it's the things that other people sometimes refer to you as that you're like, oh, I'm not even sure why they're saying that, but okay. Or sometimes you're actually like really proud of it too. And we honestly, I think, could all welcome the parts of ourselves for doing the very best they could as little ones to come alive in the ways that they have and to offer them a sense of, like, you did your very best. I'm so very proud of you for putting that together. And if that sounds like it's too much, feel free to back off of that. That can be sometimes a lot to do all at once. And there's this idea that this team of parts that form your character. Almost like a little small gang, became this identity that you held, this mask that you wore, this sense of I'm always the good one, or I'm the one who's the slacker, or I'm the black sheep, or I'm the one who's shut down, or I'm the one who's anxious, or you get the idea. Yeah. I'm the one who doesn't have a right. I'm the one who can't figure it out. I'm the stupid one, the silly one. I'm the crazy, neurotic, psychotic, nuts one. Perhaps the delusional one. I have a teacher who talks about our realm of parts as referring to insanely gifted. Yeah. And I think there's the real magic to that kind of a reference. You know, when we honor the gifts that's present in our parts, we honor the creative elements they can actually contribute to our lives if they weren't busy doing what it is they're doing right now. And we can actually give them other jobs. We can actually give them, and not necessarily, let me put it that much differently, actually. Let me say that entirely differently. We can offer them the opportunity to take on another job. And as I say that all, I've been talking about parts for a long time, and we mentioned like the back body. I'm going to invite you to actually just connect into your back body. To breathe into it, to notice what's here. We're going to bring in some circulation of all the healing resources, working with the flow of blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness through awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression. We may think of them as impacting our nervous system and our immune system, but really they impact the whole body mind. They just have a greater emphasis in certain areas. We're also working with the yin and the yang, the yin bringing in our essence of nourishment, and the yang bringing in our essence of protection. Sometimes those are respectively are referred to as our feminine and our masculine, or yin and our yang, beyond gender. In case you're wondering what I was doing, I was just finding a light. It was getting a little bit dark. I keep forgetting we're in that time of year. Okay, there we go. That should work a little bit better now. And as we bring that circulation in, we're also bringing in hydration, helping your cells to bring in water, joy, release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And amongst that all, I'm going to invite you to actually bring in just a little bit of movement. And if there's any areas that are cranky or stuck, take note of those. Bring in just a little bit of movement into your spine, whatever way feels right to you. You might go side to side, you might bend forward and backward, you might rock right to left. I'm bringing just a little bit of movement. Maybe you do circles. I've been in the circles lately. And then I'm going to invite you to just notice any particular areas that carry a little bit of stickiness, carry a bit of crunchiness, carry a bit of energy where they just feel really tight. Any of those areas that feel kind of crunchy, shut down, numb, even, or tight. And I'm going to invite you to see if there is a color, a texture, an image. A sensation. Notice what's present here. And as you breathe into it, I'm going to also invite you to breathe in your imagination, into this area of your body, either a magic paintbrush or a Harry Potter wand. And not because you're directing it, but notice what this area wants to turn into of its own accord. Notice what comes alive here. What does it do spontaneously, with agency? With autonomy. That part's really important. Don't do it for it, let it choose. Just like you don't want to be fixed, changed, or managed, neither does it. So, in case you did that, feel free to back off and let it choose. What does it want to turn into of its own accord? And then go ahead and breathe into that area of the body. And notice what changed. Noticing what's different. There might still be some things the same. There might still be some sort of an ache or pain or tension there. The question is what's different? What's different here? And if there's any relief, take a moment to breathe and let that rumble on through. And we're linking that right back into hydration. Again, that helps us take in water, joy, and release any impurities. That entire area that surrounds the entire spinal column, there's like a sheath, a connective tissue sheath, a lining. And that lining becomes continuous with the lining of the skull, the meningeal layers. So we're working with that totality of the place where the cerebrospinal fluid runs. I've been geeking out a lot on Emily Conrad lately. If you don't know her, she's behind the Continuum Movement, and she works with, not works with, but wrote a book called Life on Land. And this area, the cerebrospinal fluid, if you've heard me speak about the cerebrospinal fluid, this is long before I knew about Emily Conrad's thoughts on it, but she agrees with me, which was just like a kindred spirit about the CSF. Which felt so cool to have. Remarking on internally on what a geek I am. And anyways, why I think it's cool, in case you haven't heard, is that I think this area represents an even-keeled balance between the feminine essence of nourishment and the masculine essence of protection. It does both jobs. It's the only fluid, it's the only part in the whole body that I can locate that does both jobs. And that's pretty spectacular, unique. And given that it does that, it actually has capacity to step into not just harmony, but unity, because it unifies both polarities. It creates oneness. There is no separation here. It mends the divide between the polarities. And it's the place where the element of stronger fear can actually be met and held and easily, not necessarily dissolved, but not necessarily needed to be pandered to either. It's like that gets to be there, and so what? I get to just be here amongst it all with ease. I don't need it to go away. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to change it or manage it. It gets to be there, and so do I, with complete and utter contentness. So as we go into the sheath, that is in essence is the container for the CSF to flow amongst and within. It's actually where the one-up parts that got formed really early on in life. These are probably more like the shortly after birth parts of you that learned how to stay alive by being better than, by being superior, by thinking this way is better than. Or maybe you didn't need it for survival, but maybe somebody in your family lineage sure did. Maybe your caregivers did. And maybe you learned it through them. And there's some irritation, some anger, some pissed offness about that all. And we're here to actually hand it back to where it came from. So we're actually just going to like delicately swoop, sweep, scoop all the way through the sheath and gather up any areas of that emotionality that's built up here. And then we're going to simply hand it back to where it came from. And even if it's something that you learned independently in a way that wasn't rampant in your environment, there was a seed of that you inherited through the ancestry. So we're handing it back to wherever it came from. Things don't pop out of nowhere. We know this from gardening, yeah? There's always a seed from where it began. So as we pluck out the seed, the roots, the core essence of this beginnings, we're actually handing it back to where it came from so that other person can also be whole. Because here's the deal. If they've got some and you've got some, Nobody can do anything with that. We're all stuck. But wholeness, being what wholeness is capacity, holds a certain capacity for transformation. So as we hand it back, they get to be whole, and you get to be whole. And then everybody gets to do what they need to do amongst it all. So their higher selves will take care of that for them. You don't need to fix or change or manage that either. That's for them. You get to focus on you. And again, check out your body. How does it feel here? And just give that all a slow, deep breath and check it out. As you do that, I'm going to tap this out. Invitation to breathe and receive and check out your body. And just give that a couple more slow, deep breaths. Check that out. Notice what's happening inside of you, and give that just a little bit more space to be met. And then the parts of you that have handed back their emotionality, the one-up parts, that is, that have handed back some of their irritation, their ragefulness, their pissed offness. They may have some more space available now. They may have capacity that wasn't there before. And not that you need to figure anything out about that or do anything about that, just naming that out loud, because it's not something that we often speak about. And those parts, again, I just want to welcome them to be here as they are and say, like, thanks. And you're actually not supposed to go away. In case any part of that part of you thought it was supposed to go somewhere or somehow annihilate itself, I just want to let them know that, like, no part of you is ever really supposed to go away. You actually need those parts to function. You need your ego functionality to be intact. For cohesion, for integration, and for whatever happens beyond that. Surprise, surprise, we'll find out perhaps. And I want to solidify that just a little bit further. What's coming through is a permission statement, and the words here are, "You're welcome here now. You're welcome here now." And there's a second one. And I'm betting they've never heard this before. And the words are, "You don't have to be here, you get to be here. You don't have to be here. You get to be here. You don't have to be here. You get to be here." And just in case it needs to also be said, I want to let them know there's nothing dysfunctional about you. That's just something that you learned once upon a time. There's nothing dysfunctional about you. You did the very best you could with everything you had at the time. You did the very best you could with everything that you had at the time. So thank you for doing your best. I'm really proud of you. Thank you for doing your best. I'm really proud of you. And if you weren't doing what you thought you had to do, what would you like to be doing? And asking them that, not just sounding out for them or interpreting it, which is really, oh, so useful to do. That's another form of control or dictating or directing or managing, governing of some sort. Overfunctioning, definitely. Yeah. And it suggests that right now your parts actually get to choose. You don't actually have to overfunction here. So win-win for everybody. Well, it might feel really weird not to overfunction, not to overdo that. I think I'm still, maybe I'm always a work in progress on that one. And then we're linking that, whatever it is, into the nose. Interesting, it's going in through the center line of the nose itself. So in through, oh gosh, is my anatomy still here? I think it's called the philtrum, the part where the nose like literally attaches to the upper lip, and then all the way through the septal region there, the midline of the nose itself. Okay, the nose overall works often with like the very primal survival, but the midline works about or works with trust and surrender. So there's the capacity to actually surrender, to trust, and to allow your system to find the middle path. A little thing I think that a Buddha character talked about, whether Buddha was actually a figure or just a composite, a metaphorical energy, whatever we, you know, think about that. There's this idea here, however, that you're working with, this concept. Finding unity, finding the middle way through the territory of your most primal survival that began back when you were in the fetal realm and back when you were just born. So going into the perinatal time frame. From conception to just after birth is what I'm going to label that as. And I'm trying to figure out if this part is maybe just for me, or maybe it's for all of us. I don't know. I'll name it out loud and with that caution, but take it on if it feels right for you. And it might be. Often that seems to be the way, even though I think it could only be just for me. I often get that feedback after sessions, and sometimes I'm like, I'm pretty sure that part was just for me, but cool that you felt that too. And the imagery that I'm seeing, and I say it might be just for me because it's relating to surgeries that I've actually had done where, and it's not, they're not delicate. And I've seen them from the other side, getting to sit in on surgeries, where they take a chisel and a hammer and they use that to rearrange bones, essentially. It's kind of like carpentry work, in all honesty, but with sterilized instruments on a human being. So it's kind of wild from the surgical side of things to see that if you're into that sort of thing, which I am. And on the patient side of things, it's like, I had no idea that was all going on. Holy shit. It was quite the thing to take in and to witness. Anywho, that's the imagery that I'm seeing now, is the hammer and the chisel. And there's a sense of, oh, okay. I think it might actually be for everybody, not just me. The metaphorical image of having to get hit like with deep pain before the awareness of getting to land in past the primal survival stage of life, getting to find the unity, getting to find the sense of trust and surrender within your own beingness. And there's the message here is very much about unburdening shame around thinking there was something you were supposed to do differently through all the pain that you've held, through all the suffering that you've been through. And we often hear this in the healing traditions, like, you're the one attracting this, you know? And we have other variations of that. And there's a subtle essence of shame amongst that. And nobody's ever once actually healed through their shame. But we know it, and we think that it's supposed to be passed on to keep others in line, just like we were. Yeah, so there's this unconscious replication of shame that happens. And it's actually linking into, as I'm noticing me scratching my right side of my neck, it's linking into the masculine side. It's linking into using words as weapons to stay safe for those that we consider to have more power than ourselves. And it's not necessarily just men, it's actually anybody in authority. It's the masculine energy. It's the masculine energy of power and authority that's present in all genders. And there's this sense of getting to unburden that shame to rearrange the power dynamics, to change the internal landscape of how it is you've been holding things together, and getting to do that in a place that no longer involves the old patterns that were learned. And we're linking that through to the stomach area of receptivity, area where things become conscious, area where things get to be broken down and digested and dissolved. And we're linking that through to this 9 year of 2025, carrying the energy of endings, of dissolutions. That's also present in the Chinese astrology of fire snake before we hit the year of fire horse. And we're tapping this all out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Now, as I tap this out, I'm seeing homework, which is to move your spine. Wiggle, woggle, shake, shimmy, randomly twitch. If you want to coordinate that into some sort of a dance, you could, but no need. Or simply, ooh, move my water bottle before I knock that over. Simply allow your body to pick anything that feels right for it that day. Doesn't need to be long. Could even just be like literally like a shaking things out, a tremoring. Or it could be like a whole formal yoga practice if you wanted it to be, but it could be just a minute. And doing that for the next week or so, daily for the next week or so, to support the flow. And seeing that flow in particular, this is a Gabrielle Roth thing from Five Rhythms. She talks about flow being connected to your feet. And the feet being our connection point to the earth. So the flow itself, wherever it can be found, being the grounding, being the opportunity to let your body mind find a new rhythm to move through itself that isn't based on the old learnings of those one-up parts. So feel free to take that on as much or as little as you feel called to. For right now, I know it's a little bit over time, but if you have the next few minutes to hang out with us, I've got a song that's a little over 4 minutes long. It's called Elder Souls. We invite you just to simply breathe and to receive and let yourself rest in all of that. Taking a moment to connect to your breath, scanning your body again from head to toe and noticing what's present here. If you need that resource that we found earlier, feel free to call on that. thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day, your week ahead. I look forward to hearing how your homework goes and what happens for you as you check out your body. We'd love to hear any feedback around today's session, and thank you, and you're most welcome to all of the comments that are coming on in. Thanks for the opportunity to hang out here together in these ways, y'all. If you're around, I'm doing if you haven't already heard, a solstice session and a seasonal support session alike. That's open to everybody, not just Buddhas and Butterflies, but feel free to share with other people. Happening this Sunday, we're going to do a bunch of different things. Body talk is going to be in the mix. The breathwork is going to be in the mix, along with some other stuff. I'm going to surprise you a little bit, maybe. And we're going to do that at 5:30 Mountain Time, MDT time, for 2.5 hours. So feel free to join us. Recordings are available, but only for people who are live and attending. So if you're not live, no recording. Okay. Just to honor privacy of not necessarily people like that your experiences will be on the recording, but the nature of the evolution of the material in response to the attendees. I'm just really strict about making sure nothing possibly could ever sneak through in confidentiality. So know that that's the line on that part. Okay, thank you all so much for being here today, and I look forward to seeing y'all next week. Bye for now. If you need any extra support, feel free to hang out. And wishing you again a beautiful week ahead. Bye for now, y'all.